I'm just going to hit it. Luke 14, verse 28. The Bible says in verse 28, it says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, we do thank you so much for how good you are to us, Lord, every day that you allow us to be alive, Lord. And God, you really have been so good to all of us, Lord, far beyond what, honestly, we even think about or appreciate, Lord. Myself included. But God, we pray that today you would just help us to focus in on what you have to say from your word, God. I pray that it would just be relevant, exactly where we need it. Maybe things we've been struggling with, thinking about, and so forth, Lord. But I pray you would please give us the help that we need from your word. I pray you would just get me out of the way and that you would be heard through the message today, that you would speak to these guys' hearts and draw them closer to yourself. Lord, I pray you would please help them to hear your voice and that you would make us more like you. Help us to love you more, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Appreciate you standing. So let me explain here in the verses that we read. Pretty cool, these two little parables, they call them. Verse 28 through 30. It says, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build but was not able to finish." All right, before I stop and comment on that, let's go to the next one, verse 31. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." Both of these are very similar then. So the first one is talking about a building project. The second one is talking about a battle, okay? In verses 28 through 30, it's talking about this guy trying to build a tower. And what Jesus' point is in both of these little parables, little stories, is that you need to basically estimate first, sit down, plan it out, like he says, count the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it, or what's going to happen. If you don't, if you just say, "I think I'm good, I think I have enough materials, and I think I have enough money," like that commercial, are you pretty sure, right? This guy's pretty sure that he has enough, but when it comes to actually doing it, he runs out of money, he runs out of the materials, and in verse 29 it says, after he had laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it. So this guy has a beautiful foundation. It's solid, it's strong. But that's it. He has nothing else. And everybody, it says, everybody that comes by, all that behold it begin to mock him. "Hey, buddy, nice foundation. I like it. What are you building?" "Oh, yeah, I forgot." "Nothing." You know, they're mocking this guy, making fun of him. And it's with good reason, guys, because he didn't plan it out. He didn't plan it out that he would be able to finish and be able to complete this task. So he started well, but he couldn't finish. And then the same thing for the king in verse 31 and 32. This guy is making war, all right? It says, "What king going out to make war with another king? He doesn't sit down first and consults whether he..." In his army, he has 10,000 soldiers. That's pretty good, except the other army has 20,000 soldiers. Yikes, right? So he says, "Man, I should be good." But then once he gets out there, verse number 32, "Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador..." "And desires conditions of peace." What's going on here? They're marching out to battle, guys. I mean, these guys have the weaponry. They got the armament. They've taken a trip already. They're on a journey. So what that tells me, Alvaro, is there's some hours that have gone by. There's some work. There's some effort. I mean, people are involved in this thing, right? And Kevin, the picture is, he starts seeing the other army in the distance.
Yeah.
"There they are, boys." And then he looks at them. And he looks at his army. "You know what? Let's make peace with them. You know, this whole army, battle thing, bad idea. Like, you know, I kind of like those guys." What was the problem? He didn't plan it out, right? So you have the building, illustration, you have the battle illustration. And in both of these situations, guys, the people get belittled. Why? Because the first guy, he didn't plan it out. And he builds half a tower and he has to stop because he ran out of money. He ran out of materials. Nice job. I love that half tower. I would build one just like it, except no one likes half towers, right? And then, hey, great job with the battle. How'd that go? Oh, I forgot. You didn't do it. Because you didn't have enough tactics. You didn't have enough strategy. You didn't plan it out well enough to be able to go up against this larger army and be able to beat them. And these people get belittled. Hey, guys, you say, Brother Tom, what in the world does this have to do with anything? Well, guys, you can apply it in a bunch of different ways, I know. But let's focus in on this today. I can't tell you how many times I've seen the same thing happen in the Christian life. Okay? You listening today? The same thing happened in the Christian life. Listen, people come and it's awesome. They get saved and that's great. That's the best thing you can ever do is get saved. And we'll talk about that today. But after that point, guys, have you planned it out? I mean, have you counted the cost? Have you estimated and say, you know what, I want to make it for the long haul? You've heard me say, and I don't say this lightly, I don't throw it out there to make it sound all preachy and spiritual. But guys, I do want to live for God the rest of my life. I hope, I pray that I'm an old guy up here preaching to you guys and doing what I can at however old I am when I die. That's right. I'm already turning gray right now. I'm on my way. But I hope that I can make it my whole life serving God. I want that, guys. I want that. I crave that. I desire that. I yearn for that. I want that. But can I tell you how many people I've grown up with, Kevin, I've served with, I've been in classes with, I've been on buses with, I've been serving God together with them. And how many, they don't count the cost. They don't estimate what they need. They're not able to finish. And at the end of the day, guys, you say, what's wrong with this guy building the tower? He only made it halfway. That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this king? He didn't even start the battle because he didn't plan it out well enough. And how many people, they only make it halfway in their Christian life? And I don't mean necessarily halfway, like being technical with that. They just went partway and they stopped. They quit. They gave up at some point. At some point across the line. That's it. I can't do it anymore. I'm done. And that's what I want to preach on. Only made it halfway. How can we avoid that, guys? Listen. Some of you guys have been in church your whole life. Our guy Jeffrey back here, or Jeff, he came. This is his first time. I'm glad he's here, man. It's awesome that he's here. But you know what? Listen, I want all you guys, every single one of them, whether you've been here your whole life or it's your first Sunday, I want you to live for God the rest of your life. You say, whoa. That's blowing me away. You know what? God can do it through you and give you the power that you need. And I mean that. That's not just empty talk. That is God's promise that He will help you. But we've got a part to do too. If we want to make it all the way, we've got to follow His directions. In this passage, guys, I'll talk to you at the end, bro. All right? In this passage, He gives us three areas I think we've got to get a hold of. Listen, Kevin, I don't want to quit halfway. I don't. Listen, guys. And a lot of people, listen, I'll just tell you from the get-go. We'll hit this later, too. A lot of people, you know what happens? I don't think anybody plans to fail. I don't think anybody, how long are you going to live this Christian life? I don't know, 3-4 years, and then I'm done with it. Nobody plans for that, right? I'm gonna be a good teenager, and then as soon as I hit adulthood, out the door. I don't think most people plan for that. I don't think when people bow their head and close their eyes and ask Jesus to save them, they say, yep, and then 12 years from now, I'm out. I'm quitting. No, nobody says that. So why does it happen? I think, guys, unexpected things happen. But can I tell you, nothing's unexpected to God. He already knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to face. He's promised that He would never put too much on you that you can't handle. Okay? You can do all things through Christ. But let's get into these couple of areas. Only making it halfway. Point number one is this, the overriding commitment. How do we avoid it? Listen, I don't want to be that guy that gets out there and does good for a little while and then falls off. So how do we avoid that? Here's the setting, verse number 25, and then we'll really dive in on verse number 26. It says, there went great multitudes with Him. So Jesus, people are following Jesus as He's walking, and He turned and said unto them. So Jesus has this big group of people surrounding Him, following Him, and He's walking from town to town, and He stops and turns and says, all right, He's got a message for them.
you know, you're probably one of them guys in the back with your head down and bumping into the guy in front of you.
Why'd you stop? Because Jesus stopped. All right? That's probably what's going on. But it says he turned and said to them, this is a serious thing. Jesus is not just, yeah, it's cool, we're fine, just keep it flowing. He stops and says, listen, this is serious. Can I tell you, just because, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom and threatening today, but just because you're following Jesus today doesn't mean you always will be.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time you have Jesus look you in the eyes from his word and say, hey, are you serious here? Verse number 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And some people say, that's tough. All right, let's explain it first of all. When he's saying to hate all these people, he does not literally mean you despise them, you hate them, you can't stand them. That's not what he's saying. Here's what it means. Your love for God should be so surpassing and so superseding and be so prominent in your life that, guys, your love for everything else in your life should look, in comparison to your love for God, like hate. You understand? That's what he's saying. I want your love for me, for God, to be so far surpassing and so far anything else in your life. Listen, you should love your mom and your dad, and you, if you have brothers and sisters and your family and your friends and all those kind of things, you should love them, you should care for them, you should be committed to them. But guys, he's saying your love for me should be far surpassing that. And what we call that point is an overriding commitment. There needs to be an overriding commitment. Listen, when you got saved, when you bowed your head and closed your eyes and said, Jesus, come into my heart, save me, take me to heaven when I die. Guys, somewhere subsequent to that in your life, there needs to be born in you a love for God. Listen, I know you've heard this 3 billion times for many of you, but don't let this thing go in one ear and out the other and just have it be empty and meaningless to you now. Listen, can I talk to you straight today, guys? Listen, if you don't love God like you should, you're not going to last. I won't last. I can have those dreams and those goals and say, yes, I want that for the rest of my life. But if I don't love God like I should, if it's not surpassing in my life, I'm not going to make it. There's going to come something in my life that'll snag me away, that'll pull me away. Why? Because my love for God is not where it needs to be. Do you have that overriding commitment? Listen, and if some of you are like, I'm not there, that's okay. You need to admit it, number one. And number two, ask God to help you with it. Ask God to help you with it and then start working at it. Right. Say, God, I want to love you more. Listen, and by the way, like we were referring to Kevin with the quote and all, you can't say you love God and then do nothing for him.
Yeah.
Well, God, I love you and I want to love you more. You coming next Sunday? Oh, I don't know about that. See, you're not going to love God more if you're not doing your part.
Yeah.
So he says there needs to be an overriding commitment. Listen, I don't want to only make it halfway. I want to go all the way. I want to last to the finish line and strive all the way living for God. How does that happen? You got to have that overriding commitment, guys. Listen, are you grateful for Jesus' sacrifice? The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Amen. Jesus said that. You know why he said that? Because that's what he was going to do for us.
Right.
On the cross. Listen, let's just say it like this. If not for Jesus dying on the cross, every single one of us right now would be burning in hell with no hope of ever getting out.
Yeah.
Like you said, nobody wants to go to hell. But listen, if not for trusting Jesus Christ, that's where we go.
Right.
You have to trust him. He said, I am the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father. No man gets to heaven except by me. But guys, are you grateful for that? Or did that at one point in your life, was that important, and now you've kind of thrown it behind you, and it's not that big a deal anymore? I mean, yeah, every once in a while, during a big conference, if Brother Kenny's preaching, or some big-name preacher flies in town, and he starts talking about the blood, and he starts talking about the cross, and he starts talking about Jesus was whipped for us, and he was bruised for our transgressions, and our iniquities, and the chastisement of our... Yeah, I might say amen, but do you really appreciate it from day to day? Guys, is it from day to day that you say, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you dying for me. Without you dying for me, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
And guys, every one of the good things in our life, we wouldn't have without for God. We wouldn't have anything without him. So there needs to be an overriding commitment. Are you grateful for his sacrifice? It says, greater love had no man. You know what that tells me? It is supreme. It is way above anything else in this world. Listen, I'm thankful for parents that love me. I'm thankful for my wife that loves me. I'm thankful for people and friends that care about me. But guys,
You want to know a love that blows all that stuff away? It's Jesus' love for me and for you. And listen, we need to love Him back with a love that blows away the rest of the love in our life. Hey, you may love your friends, and that's great. Do you love Jesus a lot more than that? You may love your family, and you should. There is nothing honorable about a guy, even if you don't have the best mom and dad, about a guy that disrespects his mom and dad. There's nothing good about that. Yeah. Okay? But your love for God, does it blow away the love that you have for your family?
I know. It's a high calling, but that's what Jesus is telling us to do. Are you grateful for His sacrifice? Hey, can I just be real with you? When's the last time you said, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me? When's the last time? Are you grateful for His sacrifice? And by the way, if there is anyone in this room, you need to be grateful for His sacrifice, but you need to get saved. If you're not saved, you can't be grateful for it. What is getting saved? It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. You know what that's saying? That's saying God loved us so much He sent Jesus to die for you. But you're part of it. You have to believe in Him for yourself. You got to put your faith in Him yourself. If you do, you go to heaven. You don't go to hell. Listen, can I tell you, some people, they've sat in church for a long time and heard that for a long time. They're still not saved, though. I tell you, man, like, and I'm not trying to beat people when they're down or any of that kind of stuff. But I really wonder, years down the road, when people have departed from the Lord and they're doing just awful stuff, I don't think they're saved. And that bothers me. Because, Kevin, they heard the same stuff that I did.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the same stuff. They grew up the same place I did. And I'm nothing. I'm nothing special. But I'm telling you, that scares me. You know what that tells me now? That there may be people in this room, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You may know all about it. But do you have that locked in your heart? Only you and God know that. Make sure you're saved. Listen, and then once you get saved, go for it in service. After Jesus said, greater love hath no man, he talks about laying his life down. The next verse says, he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So he's saying, hey, I proved my ultimate love for you, dying on the cross once and for all. You want to prove your love for me? Go serve me. Go obey me. That's how we prove that we love God. If you love me, keep my commandments. Live for God if you say you love Him. But guys, how many people get sidetracked? They get sidetracked. Revelation 2:4 talks about, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Guys, notice the wording of that statement, of that verse. He doesn't say you lost your first love. That's what we think, Kevin.
Right.
We think we lost our first love. And I'm looking around my house. Where are my keys? I have no clue where my keys are. I just lost track of them. Guys, when he says you left your first love, you know what that means, Alvaro? You knew where they were.
Right.
And you left them.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's a whole different level, guys. Because I think we want to give ourselves an excuse and say, well, I just wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't really, concentrated about it. And it just kind of drifted away. But guys, sometimes we allow things in our life on purpose, and because of that, we're leaving our first love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You should love God as much now, if not more, than when you first got saved. When you first got saved, you're so excited about it. Man, I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. That's a great feeling, right? Mm-hmm. But you should be excited about that now. By the way, no guy... and we've had preachers like this before. They come from a rough background, and man, they've gone through the ringer of this world, and then God saves them. Praise God, that's awesome. But can I tell you, they shouldn't be more excited than those of us that have grown up in church,
right,
and never had some of those experiences. Listen, you should love God just as much.
Yeah.
Listen, why is it that we're all chill and all cool about it? It's like, yeah, it's fine.
I mean, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Who wouldn't be? But, you know.
It should be passionate in your heart. Listen. You can like the NBA finals. You can like baseball, football, and whatever you're passionate about. That's all fine and good. But you should be more passionate about the Lord than anything else in your life. I believe that. Kevin, if I get more excited about a baseball game than I do God's word and God's work, I need to check myself and say, there's something wrong with that.
Right.
Listen, I like that stuff. But that stuff has no eternal value at all. In fact, a few years later, you're like, who won? We don't even remember after a couple years. The overriding commitment. He says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Don't get sidetracked with this. And then, guys, there needs to be a genuine standard. This is the actual standard. Listen, you don't want to quit halfway. Verse number 26, he says, you got to love me far and above, far and beyond anything else in your life. Listen, you should love your mom. You should love your siblings and all that stuff. But do you love God more than that? That's what we're talking about today. Hey, I get it, guys. For everyone in the room, that's, wow, that's high. That's tough.
I love my mother, but I don't love my father.
Listen, but you need to love God more than anybody else in your life. I'm telling you, that's where it needs to be at, guys. Listen, are you concentrated on that in your life? The overriding commitment. Point number two. Opposition will come. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So first of all, Jesus says, all right, you want to stick it out? You don't want to just make it halfway and quit, but you want to go all the way and live for me and be faithful to me. All right, you got to love me and have that overriding commitment. But number two, opposition will come. And Kevin, I think sometimes we're like, all right, yeah, I'm trying to love God more. And yeah, I want him to be supreme in my life. I want to be devoted to him. Well, what did I say earlier? A lot of times something unexpected happens in our life, and then we think we got to pass. We think we have an excuse. Well, Lord, I didn't know that was going to happen with my job. I didn't know that was going to happen with my family. I never thought there would come a day where this circumstance would come into my life. But like I said at the beginning, God already knew about it. God knows the end from the beginning. He has all knowledge. He knows what's going to happen. Guys, that doesn't give us a pass to quit on God. Now, I've thrown this out before, and I don't mean it for any specific reason. I don't have some secretive agenda in my mind. But if it just so happened, for those of you that your parents do come, what if something happened and they got tiff, they got angry with the church, and they rolled? What would you do?
It's good.
You say, well, I don't like thinking about that. I don't like talking about it. But it happens. I've had guys, Kevin, that sit in this class, listen to this kind of preaching, and their families were just as solid as yours are. But some stuff happens. Can I tell you, the devil's always trying to uproot, always trying to mess things up, always. And I've had guys that they never, if you would ask them, you know, interview them after class, so what do you think of class? I was asleep. Well, get out of here. You know, but anyway, you say, do you think your family would ever leave church? No. And if you gave them a lie detector, they would pass. You know what I'm saying? They're not lying about it. They're not messing around and saying just the Christian response. They really would have meant that. And I really would have believed that. But you know what? Things happen. And you know what's happened with a lot of them, Kevin?
They're gone too.
Yeah. It's frustrating. Opposition will come. When Jesus says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Guys, you know what he's talking about? What does the cross represent in that day and age? When Jesus is talking, what does it represent?
Like burdens? Yeah.
What else? In verse 27, where he says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What do you think he's talking about? He said burdens. What else do we got?
Sin. I guess it's burdens.
Okay. Nobody? Can I tell you, you got some?
I guess whoever doesn't, I guess whoever doesn't believe in him.
Okay. Good. Good.
You can't go to him and ask him for anything, forgiveness or something.
Okay. Good. Yeah, that's a good effort. Can I tell you what I think it means, guys? Ultimately, just to be real about it, back in that day and age, you know what the cross symbolized? Death. Mm-hmm. Now, we know. I'll get to that in a moment. But before I do, you know, I think, first of all, it represents shame. Hey, guys, listen. I wish this wasn't a part of it. If I could take this out, I would. But as we talk about, we can't change the Bible. God's right. None of us are, right? So when he says you got to take up your cross, you know what he's saying? There's going to be some shame associating with me. It's part of it. It's part of it. Listen, we don't like that. We don't like that, but the world is not for us. They are against us. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:13, Jesus says this. He said, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. You know what it's saying? Jesus by the world is hated and despised. if we belong to Him and if we associate with Him and if we make it known, hey, I'm a Christian, I belong to Him, I'm proud to be a Christian, some of that's going to come our way too. Hey, are you still in or are you checking out at this point? Saying, no, I'm going to only build my tower halfway.
That's good.
I'm only going to go out to battle and then say, whoa, no, this is too much for me. It's more than I bargained for. Is that going to be us? Oh, I don't want to be that. We'll realize opposition will come. Hey, sometimes people will laugh at you. They'll mock you. They'll ridicule you. Co-workers, Kevin, why don't you go to the party? Why don't you drink that? Dude, why don't you look at this nasty picture? Come on, man. What's the problem? Hey, guys, that's part of living for the Lord. In Acts 5:41, I don't think we take this mentality, guys, with suffering very often, but notice this. This is the disciples after they were beaten by the Jewish council. It says, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. I don't think we think of it like that. You know what? How we should, and I need to work on this just as much as anybody. But when we start feeling that shame and that pressure and people laughing and snickering in the background, and none of us like that. If you like that, I think something's wrong with you, all right? I don't like that. You start feeling embarrassed and humiliated, and you're just like, it gets like 8 million degrees, and you're like, how did it get so hot in here? Can somebody turn some air on? The air is on, sir. Well, not enough! You know, like, I'm the customer. I should be right, you know? Listen, but it gets tough. And I don't think anybody enjoys that. I don't know about you. I don't step up on the conveyor belt like, yeah, this is what being a Christian is all about right here. I'm not feeling it right then. But you know what, guys? These people, they said they felt they were honored that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know what they're saying? I get to suffer for the Lord? This is amazing. He's the one that suffered for me. And obviously, our suffering is nothing in comparison to what He did. But these disciples said, man, this is an honor. Guys, it's as if when a soldier goes to battle and they get wounded, you know what they get? They get a purple heart that shows that they were wounded in the service of our country. And if someone sees that or recognizes that, that's an honorable thing. And guys, have you stood for the Lord and taken some of that? Can I tell you, I probably haven't taken enough that I need to. There's been some small times here and there, but listen, when those pressure moments come, I want to be able to say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. We don't enjoy those things, but we don't want to crumble like Peter. We get it. How about you? The shame, the suffering. The Bible says, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We hope our country doesn't get worse and worse, but we kind of know the direction that it's headed. If it keeps getting worse and real difficult persecution comes and severe persecution, where are you at? And then, like I said, when Jesus said, take up your cross and come after me, I literally think He means you need to be ready to die. This could lead to that. And guys, listen.
This is very serious. I get it.
But if it ever came to that, which, Micah, I hope it never does. Like, let's just be real about that. I hope our country keeps being tolerant of Christianity and allowing us to do what we do. But if it ever does become illegal to preach what I'm preaching to you now, to have a meeting like we do and gather people in under the sound of the gospel. If it becomes illegal to do that.
Guys, I had to, as I'm studying for this late last night, I had to say, Lord, and I'm not trying to be all spiritual sounding here. I'm just trying to be real with you guys. I said, Lord, if it ever comes to that, I want to be able to say, yes, I am a Christian. Guys, there's been several occasions, I can tell you the stories of high schools and all this kind of stuff, where some crazy shooter walks in and asks somebody, are you a Christian? And they say yes, and bam, the trigger gets pulled. Can I tell you, I am a Christian 100%, but whew, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's real tough. And it's easy for us to say, yeah, sign me up. Put me at the top of the list. We sound just like Peter. Right? But when it comes, push comes to shove, it's a whole different story. But Kevin, I was studying this last night and said, Lord, if it ever comes to that, I want to be faithful to you. Like, I want to be. Listen, that's what happened. Hey, it may not have been a handgun, but can I tell you that's what happened with the three Hebrew boys?
Right.
That was certain death. Guys, we know the end of the story.
And we think, well, yeah, God's going to protect them.
They didn't know that. They were in the middle of it. When they said deny or bow or you get thrown into the fiery furnace, they're not like, oh, this is cool. Guys, it was certain death.
You know what they said? We're not going to bow. God may deliver us. God may not deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not bowing.
Right.
Hey guys, how about us? How about us? Man, that's strong. And then we know, and I'm not trying to heap on him, but we know Peter crumbled under pressure. Can I tell you though? I don't think he loved God like he should have at that point in his life. Later he did. And by the way, if you don't love God like you should right now, if you keep working on it, God can develop you. God can have you progress in that to where you can love him like you should. Even if you've been weak before, God can strengthen you. I'm glad we have a God that can help us and help us become what we're supposed to be, even if we're weak at this point in our lives. The opposition will come. We may be slain, but if we want to make it all the way and not just halfway, we need an overriding commitment, and opposition will come. Point number three and last. This is down in verse 33. So we jump over the two parables of the tower and of the battle in verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You notice that pops up three times in 26, verse 27, and verse 33. Jesus saying, these are the conditions. If you want to be faithful to me, if you want to make it through the long haul, this is what you got to get. The last one, and point number three, is this: the omitting of conditions. Omitting of conditions. You say, I don't understand that. I hope you will in a minute. I'll try to explain it. He says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. It's funny how it kind of fits with last week, right? The rich young ruler. Because Jesus said, hey, sell that, follow me. And he's like, I'm not doing that. It's too much. That's too much for me. I think this is what Jesus is saying. There needs to be a willingness in your life to say, Lord, whatever it takes to serve you, I'm going to stick with you. Okay? I think that's what he's saying in verse 33, where he's saying, whosoever you be of you and forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let all that stuff go. Leave it all behind. Turn your back on all of it. Guys, there needs to be a willingness that whatever it takes, I'm going to stay faithful to God. And I'll explain this as we go. The omitting of conditions. Can I tell you what some people do? Guys, look up here if you would. I think what some people do is, I don't know where this comes from. I'm not really sure the start of it. But I think they put a certain line on their life and say, God, I want to serve you and all this, but God, you gotta do this for me. You got to. And Kevin, it's not wrong to want things from God. Obviously, guys, we can't take our next breath without God's help, right? But we can't do anything without him. And we need those things. So we can ask God for things all the time. But this is a different level. This is demand. This is, God, if you don't do this, I'm out. Can I tell you, God has no obligation to do that thing? God says, listen, you should love me. You should put God number one above everything else. You know what we do? We put ourselves above everything else and say, God, you better obey. Can I tell you, you've got your positions wrong.
Right. Yes.
God needs to be up top, and you say, God, you're in control of my life.
Amen.
When he says, you got to forsake all that you have and follow me, I think he's saying the omitting of conditions, limitations. There needs to be a complete willingness. I talked about it last week, guys. That there needs to come time, as we go through. This needs to be a continual, repetitive thing. That whether it's at the altar or whether it's at your home when you're doing your devotions, that you say, God, I am willing to do whatever you want.
Right.
Whatever you want. And guys, we should really mean that. And like I said, if that means God wants you missionary, okay, bam. If you want me to do this, okay, I'll do it. And guys, we should really mean that. And you need to have your heart in a constant state of that. The omitting of conditions. Guys, first of all, it means you need to let him control. He's in control, not us. He should be. Mark 8:35 says this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel, the same shall save it. Now, I don't believe this is talking about death, but I think it's talking about control. Listen, guys, when we say, you know what, Lord, I'm letting you control my life, what does the world say? What are you doing? You're nuts. You're throwing your life away. No, no, no. I'm giving my life to the only one that can do anything good with it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
But what the world tells us is, man, you're giving your life away. You're throwing it away. When you give it to the Lord, you're saving your life. You're producing the most good out of your life when you give it to the Lord. Guys, when you keep it to yourself and the Lord says, give it to me, give it to me. No, I'm keeping it to myself. If you do that,
your life will rot in your hands. Mm-hmm. You can't hold on to it. The only, like that saying goes, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. You give your life to the Lord, you gain your life. You hold on to your life, you lose it. That's what he's saying. Let him control. Let him control. Hey guys, you have decisions in your life, let him control. You say, how do I do that? By going to the church, lighting a candle? No. By talking really weird and having this sound around me? No, that doesn't do anything. You know how you do it? You go to him. Like the Bible says, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. That's by prayer, saying, God, I have this decision. I'm going to college soon. God, I have this decision to make. I need to work somewhere. God, I want to have a family one day. God, I need you to bless me. I need you to show me. Guys, we get too formal with it and we get too spun up in our brain. All we got to do is say, God, I need you to do this in my life. Please show me the right way to go. And guys, I'm not saying you pray for 2 seconds and God answers. Sometimes you have to pray over and over and over and over. But is it that big a deal to you?
It's good.
Because some of us, we pray a couple times and it's like, man, I guess God doesn't care about it. I'm just going to do what I want to do. You're going to wreck your life.
Right.
Listen, go to God. Let him control. And guys, there needs to be no limiting conditions. Well, if he does this, or this exception, or this clause in my life, it's like we give God a line to cross. We draw a line in the sand. All right, God, you've got to do that for me. Guys. He saved you from hell.
Right.
And you say, you've got to do this for me? I'm trying to say this respectfully. He don't got to do nothing for you or for me.
Right.
If not for him, we'd be burning forever. Mm-hmm. But some of us, God, you have to. Now, you can plead and say, God, I've got to have you do this. That's different. But when you say, God, if you don't do that, I'm gone. You might as well be as good as gone right now. Listen, the limiting conditions, no ifs, no exceptions, no clauses, no lines to cross. Hey, guys, can I tell you, when you say, and some of these things are good, good desires, but when you put it in that form with God, can I tell you what it shows? That you already have a breach, a breakage, a blockage in your commitment to God. What did we talk about? Point number one, overriding commitment, right?
Yeah.
You love God before it, above everything else in your life. Kevin, if you say, God, you have to do this for me or I'm out, you know what that tells me? And I don't believe Kevin's doing this. But there's a small little desire that you want to get out.
Mm-hmm.
There's something broken in that flow, in that pipe. And guys, can I tell you, the devil's going to exploit that.
Yeah.
I think the devil hears that and says, oh, okay, so that's what you want. I've seen it happen. Listen. God, if you don't show me the right college to go to, then I just can't keep serving you. Hmm. Or how about this?
Kevin, I am the butt of all these things today.
Listen, I've known some guys. God, I'm going to a Christian college. You got 4 years, God. You better bring Mrs. whatever your last name is to me in the 4 years. You know what? I hope God does for those of you that are going. You know, that's all good. I really hope God does. But what if he doesn't? You still going to serve God?
Yep.
Are you serving God just for that? I've heard guys say statements along these lines, and I'm thinking, so who's your God?
Yep.
Mrs. I hope to be? Or the true God? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, what is it? Listen, guys, we need to want him and desire him and love him more than anything else in our life. Don't forget that. But don't put conditions on God and say, all right, God, you have to do this. He doesn't have to. Now, he does bless us. He does provide us with things. Thank God. We can't make it without that. But when you start drawing a line in the sand and say, God, if you have to, you haven't forsaken all that you have. You know what Jesus is saying? Leave all that stuff behind. I'm it. I'm number one. Hey, if God doesn't give you some prominent ministry, you going to keep serving God?
It's good.
If everybody doesn't know your name nationwide, you going to keep serving God?
Yes,
sir. It needs to be. That needs to be our commitment. That needs to be our level of devotion to God. God, you better provide this for my future. God, I'll serve you if I'm rich. You might as well forget that right now. All right?
No, I'm kidding.
But listen, God, you better do this for me. God doesn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God can bless you. But don't you, listen guys, don't you put God on trial for your little wish or your little want that you have and say, God, if you don't do this, then I'm never going to serve you. God, guys, that is not fair to God because he's done so much for us. You can't demand these things of him and say, you have to. You can say, God, I really need you to. God, if you don't bless my family in this way, I'm out of here. God, if you don't give me this kind of ministry, I'm out of here. If I'm not some big name preacher one day, God, I'm out of here. Then go. We should do it for the Lord. Hey. You want people to worship you or worship God? Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, can I throw one last, I guess, example at you? This is not really even in the text, but we'll just deal with it and move on. Can I tell you the Lord's example, his concentration? Hey, guys, his example on the cross. Kevin, I'm sure glad that Jesus didn't have a limit that he would reach, that he would only go to express his love for me and for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I'm really glad that Jesus didn't say, I'll take 25 of them beatings, but after that, I'm not going to do it for these worthless people. Because you know what? He never would have done it for us.
Right.
You know what I think Jesus' mentality was? Whatever it takes.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, we know he's God. So, Kevin, he knew the exact amount of everything that he would take. I mean, guys, he knew how many punches, how many slaps, how many whips from the cat of nine tails. He knew the nails. He knew the crown. He's all knowing, so he knows all that stuff. But can I tell you, and I say this in the best way I know how, I don't think he cared about it.
Yeah.
If it was less than that, Ethan, okay. If it was more than that, okay. I'm all in, whatever it takes. He didn't say, I'll take 400, but 401, that's it. Drawing the line. Nope. No more. I took enough of your spitting and your cussing, and I took enough of all that. I took it. That's it. Kevin, I'm glad he didn't draw a line somewhere and say, I won't go past this mark. So why in the world do we think we can draw a line with God and say, God, if you don't do this for me, I'm out of here. Then we don't love the Lord like we should.
Right.
His example on the cross. Guys, listen, just to remind you, the Bible talks about his visage was so marred more than any man and his form more than the sons of man. That's Isaiah 52:14. You know what that's saying? His face was so disfigured, so messed up. And his body was so beaten apart and ripped up. Guys, if you saw Jesus on crucifixion day, I don't think you would have said, who is that? You would have said, what is that? Because he looked like a butchered piece of meat. That's how messed up he was. Why did he do that? For you and for me. He took the punishment, the equivalent of the punishment of hell for us in our place so that we don't have to. But man, I'm glad he had that whatever it takes mindset. And he said, you know what? Whatever I have to go through so that Kevin doesn't go to hell, so that Nathan doesn't go to hell, so that Tim and so that Ethan and so that Alvaro and Danny and these guys in this room and this the people that are saved in this church, so that they won't go to hell. And by the way, he paid for everybody, whether they love God or hate God. He still took the price for them. But he said, whatever it takes. And can I tell you, he took a ton beyond our comprehension. So, you know what that means? Kevin, we may not know what we're going to face. Hey guys, honestly, and I honestly prayed this to the Lord last night. I hope you guys have smooth, easy lives. I really mean that. I hope God blesses you and you have good families and things go well for you, strong jobs. And I really want that for everybody. But, if it doesn't, where are you going to be?
It's good.
I mean, God forbid, and I don't want this for anybody. I mean this with all my heart. But if one of you does marry the wrong one and she rolls on you, you're going to stick faithful to God?
Mm-hmm.
And she hates every second. You better watch this. Lord's going to say, oh, okay. You volunteering? All right. Kevin's like, sticking hand? All right, listen, if that ever happens, guys are messed up. Listen, if that ever happens, you're going to stick faithful? Hey, can I tell you, there's people in our church, when they got married, man, that guy, that girl, they seemed like they were going to stay faithful forever. And they're not now. I'm glad some people have stuck it out and say, you know what? I'm not doing it because them. I'm doing it because I love the Lord. Hey, would that be me? Would that be you? Whew. That's tough.
Yeah.
If God doesn't provide some of those things. Listen. Whatever, you fill in the blank. I can't come up with all the different options and you guys know that. Listen. If there is someone you're like, Lord, if you would pay me this much, If you would provide this kind of home for me. And listen, it's okay to have those dreams. Mm-hmm. But what if God says, I got a better plan?
That's good.
I got something else for you.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to have a big house? I wanted you to be a missionary in a different country. Let me get back to you.
Yeah.
Most people will never come back.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not against any of those things. And I, as I said, I want God to bless you guys and help all of us have a good life. I hope our country continues. I know it's not great, but I hope they continue to allow us to keep meeting, keep preaching the gospel, all those kind of things. But if that stuff goes south, what about us? What are we going to do? All right? And there could be a lot more examples. I remember interviewing, I'm done with this. I remember interviewing for a class I had in college. I was interviewing my dad for a paper, a pastor's interview, they called it. And I remember talking to him about some of the problems that come up in ministry. And Kevin, this stuck with me. It's almost as if my dad, I wouldn't say he blew it off, but he just gave me this answer. Tom, it's part of the territory. He just moved on. Yeah. And guys, can I tell you, I think we need that mindset.
Yeah.
You know what? It's part of the territory. Hey guys, listen. If you're a soldier, you're probably going to get shot at. Hopefully it doesn't hit you, right? But you're probably going to get shot at, right? It's part of the territory. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go through some tough things. The Bible talks about endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now why is it those guys, they're prepared for that, they're ready for that. And then when someone slams the door in our face or gets mad at us, we say, I'm not doing this anymore. Maybe because we haven't realized that's part of it. Hey. I want to, by God's grace, live the rest of my life in America, free country, things going well, going to church, serving God. Guys, can I just throw something at you? And I literally am done with this. You're like, I don't believe you. I know, but it's all right. Listen, I'll throw one more thing at you. This challenged me like crazy last night. What if you had the life of one of the greatest Christians and you had it mirrored in your life? You want to sign up for that? You're like, yeah, it sounds great. Whoa, wait. Don't sign up yet. Let me fill in his name for you. Paul. What if you had to go through some of the things he went through?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, starting all those churches and leading all those people to the Lord. Yeah, that was his driving force. But persecution, thrown in jail,
right.
Beaten, shipwrecked. They stoned him one time and thought he was dead. Yeah. Dude's nuts and then goes back to the same place and preaches. Paul, you're crazy. Go somewhere else. Like, I'm not going back there for a while. Right? Like Delaney's house. If you're something you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going back there for a while. Listen. Persecution, brother. Or Sean, when I need him. All right, listen.
He's over there.
Check. Come on, my leg. Listen, guys. If it comes to that, though, listen. I just asked myself this question: if I had to go through what Paul went through, would I stay faithful? Mm-hmm. I mean, some of us are like, sign me up for the easy life, you know, the smooth ride, and I'm all for that. That would be nice. But if it's not that, would we follow along with Paul, or would we? Would we forsake the Lord having loved this present world? Something to think about. Hey guys, you want to make it halfway? Of course not. I don't want to be halfway done. I don't want to build half a tower and not be able to finish. I don't want to go out to battle and then never go out to battle because I haven't planned. Hey guys, so have you counted the cost now? Hey, if your best friend walks away from God, how about you? Count the cost. Don't go halfway. Don't go halfway. Listen, you should love God before. Hey, Kevin. When God started working on my heart, I didn't know 2008, your dad passed away. I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that years later, some people I was really close to quit on God, walk away from God, go into sin. I didn't know that. And I could go into other stories that I probably shouldn't. But I didn't know some of the challenges. But guys, can I tell you? You shouldn't have a list of criteria and say, God, if I live an easy life, if I'm rich, if I have a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, great job, everything's smooth, I can always pay my bills, blah, 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 I'll serve you. It may not happen the way your list presents it. So how about you? You going to be committed? Am I going to be committed? This is what it takes, guys. And I know this is not fun preaching and we're, yeah, amen. That ain't that kind of preaching. But I hope this is serious and we start really thinking about it. You know what? We talk about the legacies of Brother Chuck, Brother Bob, my dad, Brother Jack, and all them, all those great men and women of the Lord.
But you know, sometimes we don't talk about all the challenges they went through.
Right.
I think they faced discouragement. Mm-hmm. I think they faced even depression sometimes, but they stuck it out. Hey guys, how about you? You say, well, Tom, it's a long preaching. I know. But I hope this will help you guys. Think about it. Have you counted the cost? Have you planned and estimated to where you don't just go halfway, you go all the way? That's what I want to do. Do you love him like you should? Do you realize that some opposition will come? And have you kicked out those conditions and say, God, if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, I'll serve you. God doesn't have to do anything for you. He doesn't have to do anything for me. I get to serve him. Yeah. I mean, every day I'm alive and not burning in hell. It's right. A good day. Now, do you say, God, I want to get serious with you and I want to be committed to you? If so, guys, say, God, what's the next step for me? I want to get locked in faithful. I want to get reading my Bible. I want to get doing something for the Lord. Whatever the next step is, ask God and he'll help you with it. Guys, may it not be said about this class. Man, some of them guys started out good. They were on fire, preached good, dressed up, sharp young men. They only made it halfway, though. I don't want that to be said. I don't want that to be said about you. I don't want it to be said about me. Well, Tom served God for a while, but rest of his life, man, I don't know what he was doing. He was off track. He was distracted. He only made it halfway. Let it not be said that. With God's help, and he'll give you the power. He'll give you the help. That's the good thing. You don't know the challenges that you're going to face, but we also have an unlimited resource in God. And he can give you the wisdom and the power and the strength and everything you need, the perseverance to keep on going. Let's not let it be said about us. We only made it halfway. All right? Let's go all the way for the Lord. Let's bow our heads.